Hey, thanks. It's great to be here. I wish it was under better circumstances, but I'm certainly glad to be back. And I just got to say, I don't know, can we appreciate Jason and the team and all the work that they do? I don't know how it's possible, but every time I come, you guys are just better, and just it's such a blessing to be able to sit and worship under your leadership, and I'm just thankful for that this morning. So I think the last time I was here, it was Thanksgiving a couple years ago for the community service, so it's been a while. Lots happened since then, so a story I want to share with you this morning happened just after last Christmas. My daughter and her then fiance, now husband, come over one night after the holidays, first part of the year, and said, "Here you go, Dad." And they gave me a little tiny fish tank, like for one of them betta fish. You know what those are? Like they're Chinese fighting fish or something. If you put two of them together, they puff up and get mad. And I'm like, thanks. I didn't know I needed a betta fish, but I guess I did. So I said, all right, I'll get a betta fish. And it was, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks later, Danielle and I are in Effingham, and we stop by the pet store, and I walk in, and I say, I need a betta fish. And the lady says, okay, they're over here, but we're kind of picked over for Christmas. There's not a very good selection of betta fish right now, which I thought was humorous that there might be a run on betta fish at Christmas time, but that's how it was. And as we were looking around, they had this giant cockatoo in there named Sydney. I remember that because it's my daughter's name. And this bird was flirting with us. And way up here, all by himself in this cage, is this little green parrot. And he caught my attention. So I asked the clerk next time she walked by, I said, tell me about this guy up here. She says, well, that's an African ringneck parrot. And that's the last one. He had three brothers. And I said, well, how long do they live? Because some parrots can live 80 years, and I would have to get my kids' permission to buy this parrot because I'm not going to make it another 80 years. And she said, they make it about 30 years. And I said, do they get much bigger than that? Because I didn't want something huge. And she said, no, that's about as big as they get. And so we didn't come home with a betta. We came home with a parrot and a cage and all the paraphernalia that went with it. And I was excited. And the reason I was excited is because years before, when we lived in California and I was working at a church, I had a cockatiel, and his name was Charlie. And he had this personality bigger than life. He would walk around on my shoulder like a pirate. Like, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? That's cool. And he would get out of his cage and interact, and he just had this personality. You couldn't get a bag of chips out of the cupboard without him screaming for him. He loved chips. He was a blast. This bird, which we named Parker, not so much. Not so much. The lady at the pet store, in fairness, she said, now with these birds, it's all about building trust. It's all about building trust. You're going to have to slowly build trust with them. Well, we got him home. You couldn't get within 6 feet of the cage without him squawking and flapping like you were trying to kill him. I'm not exaggerating. And here we are almost a year later. Now he will sometimes come to the cage and eat a little snack through the bars out of your hand. And it's been frustrating, and it's been disappointing, because I want this relationship that I had with my old bird with this bird. And I'm thinking, you know, look, I feed you. I'm the one that literally puts the food in your mouth. I keep you safe, and you think I'm trying to hurt you. I said, you know, I got to thinking, if you would just trust me, I could let you out of the cage. Things would be more fun. You would be even freer than you are now. If you weren't so scared, if you would just trust me, the things that we could do would be so cool. And it hit me. It hit me. That's how God looks at us. We're the parrot in the cage. If you would just trust me. And I wonder, as we're going through some of the things that we're going through in our nation right now, if it isn't a good time for a reminder that we need to trust God. And so I got to thinking about this, do you trust me? And you know that line shows up in a lot of movies, a lot of movies. The Titanic, right? The movie Titanic. Leonardo DiCaprio takes, I had to write her name down, Kate Winslet, right? Leads her character to the front of the boat, says, close your eyes, right? And he says, now step up. And she steps up on the rail, and he puts her hands on the railing, and he says, now keep your eyes closed. And she's standing there, and he's behind her, and he says, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And she says, yes, and he takes her arms and off the rail and stands there, and he says, now open your eyes. And the sea wind is in her face, right? And the music swells, and all of us got our tissues out at that moment, right? That's one of the movies. How many of you have seen National Treasure with Nicolas Cage? Okay. So Nicolas Cage steals the Declaration of Independence because there's a hidden map on it. They're in this underground thing, and the platform they're on is falling apart, and he drops the Declaration of Independence, and he also drops his love interest in this movie, and he's got to make a quick decision. Save the Declaration of Independence or save my soon-to-be girlfriend. And so quickly he comes up with a plan to save both, but he doesn't have time to explain it to her. And he says, do you trust me? And she says, yes. And he lets go and throws her to this other platform and saves the Declaration of Independence. And then Dylan, who's with me today, when he was young, watched Aladdin 15 million times. I could still quote that movie, I think, verbatim. But there's a scene in there where Aladdin jumps off the balcony and he's caught by the magic carpet. Remember that? And it comes up and she's like, how are you doing that? He's like, it's a magic carpet. Do you want to go for a ride? And he reaches out and he says, do you trust me? Do you trust me? I think God is asking us today, do we trust him? Our main text today is going to be Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. If you want to follow along, it's not a long passage. I'm going to read it. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. There's an Old Testament promise right there just for trusting in God. Conversely, there's a promise there for those that don't trust God as well, isn't there? So the word translated trust here literally means a bold, confident, and sure security, or an action based on that security. And I think we need to understand that trust and faith are different things here. We're talking about two different things when we talk about trust and faith. Faith is a noun, right? Faith is a noun. It's something that we have. It is a gift. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The scriptures talk about Jesus being the author and perfecter of our faith. It's something that we have that comes from him. But trust is a little bit different. Trust is a verb. It's something that we do based on our faith. Right? Trusting is believing in the promises of God, even when all the circumstances going on around us, all the evidence seems to be to the contrary. Trust is a byproduct of faith, then. We prove our faith by trusting, by living out our full acceptance of God's promises day by day. And it's by this trust that we are promised peace. And boy, do we live in a world right now, do we live in a country right now, do we live in a county right now that is in need of peace? Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Because he trusts in you. Psalm 112:7 says, he is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. How many of us are sick of bad news? Right? This, write this one down. This is a good one. This is a good one. He is not afraid of bad. We don't have to be afraid of the bad news that we're pummeled with every day. Why? Because we can trust in the Lord. You know this one, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That peace is because of our trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. All our heart. I think that's sometimes where we mess it up. Lord, I trust you with 60% of my heart, or 80%, or maybe 50%. You take care of this stuff, but I've got this over here. Sometimes we're guilty of not trusting with all of our heart. That verse kind of sums up the Bible's teaching on trust. Who do we trust in? And it's the Lord, not ourselves, not our plans, certainly not the world's wisdom, certainly not the world's devices. We trust in the Lord. Why? Because he's trustworthy. He's trustworthy. He's proven himself to us over and over and over again. He's given us his word, and his word is trustworthy. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Every word of God proves true. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. His word is trustworthy. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and they stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It's the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. That's the word of God. It is going to do what I say it is going to do. We can trust it, even when all the circumstances say we can't. Psalm 33:4 says, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. We can trust him because he is trustworthy. We can trust him because his word is trustworthy. We can trust him because he is faithful. Because he is faithful. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. That answers some of the questions that we have when we watch the news today, if we're honest, because we watch it and we say, who's going to step in and save us from all this craziness? He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful one who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. We can trust him because he is faithful. His word is trustworthy. His plans for us are trustworthy. His plans for us are trustworthy. You know this one, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. Plans to give you a future and hope. Some of your versions say plans for success or plans for prosperity. God's plans for us are trustworthy. Ephesians 2:10 reminds us that we are his workmanship. Some of your versions there say we are his masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. His plans are trustworthy. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. His plans for us are trustworthy. We don't have to be afraid when God calls us to do something, when God asks us to do something. And we're given lots of examples throughout Scripture of people who did and didn't trust the Lord and what the consequences of that was. Adam and Eve didn't trust God and his word, and they got kicked out of the garden and cursed mankind. Zacharias didn't trust God, and he was stricken mute until his son was born. The nation of Israel didn't trust God and ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years. On the other hand, David trusted God and was able to slay a giant with a rock and a slingshot. Moses trusted God, and the Red Sea parted. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted God, and they were saved from the fire. Daniel trusted God, and he was saved from the lion's den. And Peter trusted Jesus and was able to walk on water. How many of us can say that? Not me. Not me. I wonder what God could accomplish through you and through me if only we would trust him with all our hearts. I wonder what he could accomplish. What areas of my life and your life do we need to trust God more in? Our time? Our schedules? Our plans? Do God's plans and God's schedule come first? Our talents? The gifts God's given us to use? Our treasure? Our finances? Our relationships? Do we need to trust God more in our relationships? And our life. Our life. We need to trust God with our life. It's almost as if God is up there and he's saying, child, I see you. I see what this world has done to you. I know all the mistakes you've made, and I know everything you've done wrong. I can forgive you. I can heal you and restore you. I can clean you up and give you not only a life, but I can give you an abundant life. I created you. I love you more than you could ever know, and I have great plans for you. And I can just see him reaching out his hand. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And of course, the first step in that is trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that yet, boy, talk to me, talk to some of the leadership today. Don't walk out of here not knowing that your future is not secure. Do you trust me? I wonder if it's like that scene in the Titanic. Is he asking us with our eyes closed to take a step forward, maybe step up on something? Is he asking you maybe to let go of something that you're holding on to for security, but he's asking you to let go so that he can show you something breathtaking, so he can show you something amazing? Do you trust me? Maybe there's some chaos going on in your life right now, so maybe you're like Nicolas Cage. And God is about to rescue you from this situation that you see no way out of. But he has a way. But if he told you what the way is, you would think he was crazy, or you would be too terrified to say yes. So he simply reaches out his hand and says, do you trust me? I can get you out of this. Do you trust me? Or maybe it's like Aladdin. Maybe God has an amazing adventure planned for you. And he's going to take you places you can never see before, never seen before. And he's singing, I can show you the world. Right? And he's going to take you in a way you never thought possible. Maybe he's going to take you on a magic carpet ride. And he's reaching out and he's saying, oh, it's all right there. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Psalm 37, 3 through 6 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. There's another promise for trusting. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Who doesn't want that? That's what we all want. That's what we want individually. That's what we want corporately as a church. That's what we want corporately as Christians in this community. What's the key? Trust in the Lord and do good. So there's a benediction in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, and I'm going to close with this. Pray this blessing over all of us today as you consider areas that God may be asking you to trust him more. As I consider God may be asking me areas of my life to trust him more. But this benediction comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. And this is my prayer for us today. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Amen? Amen. Thank you.